not going to let anything come between me and my relationship with Jesus. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with my Savior, Jesus. I'm going to meditate on his words every day. This is the post. This is the reel. This is the feed I'm going to be reading every single day. I want to know his presence. I want to sit at his feet. I want to know his voice. I want to be obedient to whatever he says. I want to spend time with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what this idea of abiding with him means. Hey, friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Reuben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. I want to share a word with you. This is a word the Lord has given me for 2026. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let's read it together, let anyone who is thirsty. So Jesus gives this invite. And he says, hey, do you want some living water? Do you want a better life? Do you want real peace? Do you want real joy? Do you want to know God? Then he says, you need to invite me into your heart. That's what he's saying right here. Verse 38 is about the Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading out loud. Whoever believes in me. Come on. This is an invitation to invite the Holy Spirit into your life. In other words, your willpower is not enough. Your strength is not enough. Your perspective is not enough. You need the Holy Spirit in your life to help you, encourage you, strengthen you, guide you, to make you, help you live a holy life, to convict you, all of those things. God wants to put his Holy Spirit inside of you. We're in this series called 21. And I'll tell you what, I am so excited about what's happening here in 21. We've been focusing on prayer and fasting. Why are we doing that? Well, the early church Christians believed in prayer so much. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to what, church? And to prayer is powerful. You want to change the circumstances in your life? You know, 2026, guys, you do not know what 2026 is going to look like. The person sitting by you, they may seem like they're in control, but they don't know what's going to happen in 2026. They can't control anything. Only God knows what's going to happen in 2026. So for 21 days, guys, for 21 days, we are focusing on prayer and fasting. If you're wondering what is fasting, I preached a whole message about this last weekend. Go to our YouTube page, Thorn Creek Church YouTube page, and you can watch the whole thing. But fasting is to abstain from something for a period of time so you can dedicate yourself to the Lord. It's to disconnect from this world. It's different from, like, you know, I understand, you know, typically it's associated with food. It's different from, like, when you're going to go to the doctor and do some lab work or something like that, so you're going to have to fast. No. This is about dedicating yourself to God. So you can abstain from food for a period of time. Maybe it's one meal, maybe it's two meals, maybe it's a few days. I don't know. It's between you and God. Or you could abstain from other things too. Social media, gaming, whatever it is, your phone, some digital device, whatever it is, and you just like, you know what, I'm going to back away from Instagram, or I'm going to back away from Snapchat, or I'm going to back away from Facebook. I'm not going to get, you know, hooked up on that right now. I want to give myself to God. So whatever it is, it's an opportunity for you to connect with God and disconnect from this world. That's what we're doing. Our hope is that you develop this new relationship with God. So here's a question, just with a raise of hands, how many of you are participating in these 21 days of prayer and fasting? Raise your hand. Look around, guys. Look at how many hands are up. If you're not raising your hand, I'm not going to guilt you. I'm just going to say the train has come here. It's landed right here again, and you can jump on this train. I've heard so many phenomenal stories, and it's from January 5 to 25. I had this one person tell me, I feel like the Lord is just passing right in front of me right now. Someone else told me, a parent said, my teenager is fasting and they are falling in love with God and they feel his presence and they want to keep on fasting. I'm thinking, what parent would love to have that problem? Somebody else told me, I'm trying to say what they said. They said, you know, food is great and I love food and it's a blessing. These were their words. They said, but nothing beats the presence of God. That's what they said. Nothing beats the presence of God. I'm hearing so many crazy stories right now of how God is moving. You go to thorncreek.church/21days and you can read all about prayer and fasting. You can read all about it. If you want 2026 to be blessed, this is where you start. You don't wait for it to lose a job, and you don't wait for the health issue. You don't wait for the marriage issue. You don't wait for the hurt. You cry out to God right now while you have breath in your lungs. And if you go there, you can also, there's a button in there that you can click to tell us your story of how God is moving in your life during these 21 days. And I'm just encouraging you. When, you know, I'm just so excited about this whole thing and how the Lord is moving. We have you can pick up daily devotionals during these 21 days. Just during these 21 days, you text 21 days to 720-704-3200, and you will get a daily devotional. It's like a 2 to 3 minute devotional from one of our Thorn Creek Church staff members, and they share a devotion with you. It's been so good just to listen to these different devotionals. I've loved every minute. So many stories. So jump right in. In fact, I think we have over 200 people now that have that are part of that, and it's just way cool. Today, the message title is Audacious Prayers. Audacious Prayers. Audacious is not a word that we use a lot. You know, it's like, man, you look audacious. You know, it sounds like a good pickup line, but it's not a word man, you look audacious. You know, we don't talk like that, or I'm going to do something audacious today. We don't talk like that. What's audacious? It means a boldness, a recklessly brave prayer. It's that level of prayer that's like, what? You're asking that? That's crazy. Wow, you're asking that's your prayer? Wow, that's a big one. I don't know. That sounds like a foolish prayer to me. It's at that level. Audacious prayers don't ignore reality. They confront it. It's like, I'm going to get in your face. I'm going to get in your face. I'm going to get in God's face, and I'm going to cry out to this. Moses prayed, now God, show me your glory. That was a pretty audacious prayer, because in the Old Testament, and maybe even the New Testament, you look at God and you die. And Moses says, show me your glory. Elijah prayed for rain to stop and rain to start. How many of you have prayed that prayer? Joshua said, God, would you make the sun stand still? Have you ever prayed for the sun to stand still? I prayed it when, like, I'm late to a meeting or something like that, and I'm like, help me out. Daniel said, God, I need you to act now. Do not delay. God, move right now. That's crazy. Hannah prayed for her son to have a baby. Jairus said, God, my daughter, Jesus, my daughter's dying. Come and put your hand on her so that she may live. And today, I want to talk about a blind brother named Bartimaeus. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10 right now. Mark chapter 10. Starts off like this. Then they reached Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus. Say Bartimaeus with me. Isn't that a cool name? I don't hear many Bartimaeuses today, but that's such a cool name. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet. Many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted, how, church? Louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped. Isn't that cool? And said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. My rabbi, the blind man said. And what was his request? And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly, say instantly with me, the man could see. Wow. And he followed Jesus down the road. So you got this blind brother named Bartimaeus. Bible doesn't tell us how long he's been blind, whether it's since birth or something happened, but he's blind. How many of you have ever experienced blindness? Have you ever experienced blindness? Anybody? All right. I think you're the only brother to raise your hand in all three services. My mother-in-law, you know, she's older, Mama Sanchez, and she's had eye issues. She gets shots and stuff like that, and she's partially blind. But the last time she went to the doctor accidentally punctured a blood vessel and a good eye. So she was literally got to a place where she was blind. Like, she was, like, literally 98, 99% blind. And she had surgery, and now she's better, and she can have partial vision now, which is where she was before. But during the time when she was blind, you know, we would be in our house. She's lived with us for, I don't know, maybe close to 14, 15 years. And in our house that she knows so well, we'd hold her, and she'd be walking, you know, like this, and you know, just a little bit nervous, and we'd have to show her, this is the fork right here, you know, this is a coffee cup, put her hand on it, this is your plate here kind of thing, and here, it would come this way, you know. It was, if you were completely blind, wouldn't that be a scary thing? Even in your own house, I would be, it would certainly rattle me up. So blind Bartimaeus is blind, and the Bible says he's sitting on the side of the road. Anybody ever been stuck on the road before? All the cars passing you, and you're thinking, is anybody going to stop and help me out? We were traveling, and we were on a subway and got off a little bit early, so we had to take a bus to get back to our place, and it was about midnight, and we were stuck on the side of the road trying to hail a cab, and nobody was stopping. You know, the thing about being stuck on the side of the road is it's easy to lose hope. You ever been in a situation where maybe you're in between jobs and you're in between longer than you expected? Or maybe you're battling something and you're like, man, I don't know if I can beat this. And after a while, you can give up. Bartimaeus is sitting down, and he's sitting down, and he's wondering. Incidentally, this is one of the reasons why you should get a Thorn Creek auto decal. It's like a AAA sticker for your car. Because if somebody sees you, if you're a Thorn Creeker, you better be stopping and saying, how can I help you out if you're on the side of the road? But blind Bartimaeus is sitting here, and everybody's passing him by. Everybody stomp your feet just for a little bit. That's what he's hearing. He's like... And he's like, and at some point he's wondering what's going on. He's blind Bartimaeus. And he's wondering, why is all this, what is all this stuff, what is this happening? And maybe you've been there before where you've been sitting on the side of the road, waiting. Maybe you've been there and you're like, man, I wish I had a better life, or I wish things would turn better for me, or that kind of thing. And have you noticed incidentally how people can become comfortable with your brokenness? You could be a broken, you could be a spiritually, whatever, blind brother or sister, and people are okay with it until your brokenness becomes an inconvenience to them. What happened when he started saying, Jesus? You know what they said? Shut up, man. What are you doing? Blind Bartimaeus, he was desperate. He was desperate. I think when we talk about saying big prayers, there's fear and there's faith that we have to battle. Fear is what if I say this prayer and nothing happens? Faith is, what if it does? See, some of us, we walk in fear, and it's like, I don't know if I could say that prayer, because what if nothing happens? I don't know if my faith can handle nothing happening. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I can, I don't know if I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to say safe prayers. God bless my day. Ooh, I can do that one. God bless my year. I could do that one. Safe prayers. But what about prayers that say, God, I need you to move in my life. I want you to use me in this way or that way. Faith is not the absence of fear. It's the decision to pray anyway. That's all it is. You have a big God, a God through whom nothing is impossible for him. Nothing is impossible. Jesus said, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it and it'll be yours. And in chapter 7 in Matthew, he says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking. There it is. And the door will be open. So he didn't say ask carefully or ask realistically. He said, just ask. Faith that never risks disappointment will never move mountains. I'm talking next level stuff this morning, guys. You came to church. God has a word for you. Let's understand the heart of God. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us this. Let us come boldly. Say boldly with me, boldly. To the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So let's say if I knocked on your door, I don't know, I'm going to knock on your door tonight at 7 o'clock. I'm going to go knock on your door, and you open up your door for me, and you say, hey, pastor, and as soon as you open your door, this is what I do in your house. Well, hey, you know. Where's the refrigerator at, man? I only get something. You know what you guys would be? You guys would be like, I'm never going to go to that church again. Who does he think he is? Come on. You know that's true. Who does he think he is? He's coming in like that, you know, like who does he, you know what God wants to tell you here? God wants to tell you, you don't have to whisper when your father owns the house. You don't have to whisper. Your Father, the God of mercy and grace, he says, come boldly to him. Like, God, I got a problem I got to talk about. I'm going to juke out our camera people. I'm going to break their ankles. God says, come boldly. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to turn to him. He doesn't want you to come timidly or fearfully or apologetically. You're not a stranger. Bold prayers honor God. They acknowledge his power. This is a great place to sneeze. Like, everybody's going to say, God bless. You know what I'm saying? At work, it's like, God bless you. It's a great place to sneeze. Bold prayers acknowledge God's power. Acknowledge God's authority and acknowledge God's sovereignty. And bold prayers go against the natural order of things. Have you figured that out yet? It's like all of us, it's like, well, there's gravity. The sun comes up and the sun goes down. Bold prayers go against the natural order. Joshua prayed against time. Wow. That's pretty bold. Elijah prayed against the weather. That's pretty bold. Hannah prayed against barrenness. And Jesus prayed against death. The bold prayers are not about arrogance. It's about a confidence in the character of God. It's a confidence in the character of God. And sometimes God says, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. That's what he did with Paul the Apostle when he said, I got this thorn in my flesh and I'm sick and tired of it. Take it from me. Whatever that thorn was. Whatever, we don't know. God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Sometimes God hears your prayers, and sometimes it's the right prayer, it's just not the right time. And God's working on some things around you, and you don't know what he's working on, but he's working, but he wants you to cry out to him. I'm going to tell you the pearl of praying to God, the pearls of calling out to God. Here it is. You may not, sometimes we think, oh, this is God's job. God's going to answer me, and his job is to give me job, more money, more women, whatever. I don't know. You just say, okay, that's his job to do something for me. No, 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 no. Here's the gold nugget. The pearl of the prayers is to be in the presence of God. That's it. I'd rather live in a car and be in the presence of God. I'd rather have nothing and be in the presence of God. I'd rather just be in his presence, and I don't care what I have. I just want to be in the presence. When you're in the presence of God, your perspective of life completely changes. You see your problems different. There's nothing greater than being in the presence of God. Bartimaeus was sitting on the side of the road, and verse 47 said, when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to what? Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me! Have you ever cried out to God in such a way that you didn't care what other people thought about you? Have you ever been so desperate? And I know that's innate. At third grade, we're thinking, what do other people think about us? And those of you who are young, let me just tell you, adults struggle with it too. What do they think about me? Don't you do that. You're going to look like a fool. Don't you do that. They're going to think this of you. Don't you do that. Bartimaeus was like, Jesus! He didn't care. He was so desperate. So desperate. I think here's our problem, guys. We are not desperate for God. The devil has sold to us the spirit of comfort. And we worship it. I just want to maintain my lifestyle. I just want to maintain my 401k. I got my future plans. I'm going to go to heaven. As long as I have a Posturepedic Therm-a-Rest on the way out there, I'm all right. As long as I'm not inconvenient, as long as we get out in 59 minutes, I'll continue coming to the church. As long as there's something, as long as he doesn't say anything that rubs me the wrong way, I'll keep coming to church. We are consumer-driven, comfort-centered creatures. God never called us to comfort. Lord, help us. You haven't cried out to Jesus until you've gotten on somebody's nerves, I'll tell you. Somebody looks at you and says, man, you're doing all that? You're crazy. Yeah, I need God big times. You don't know. I'm the one sitting on the curb. I'm the one sitting here, not you. I'm the one here. I'm here. You're walking around, I'm over here, I need God, I got problems. Have you ever been desperate? Desperate. Let me say it this way, God is looking for desperate people. God is looking for desperate people. Somebody is just like, God, I need you to talk to me, God, right now. I want you more than life itself. I want you more than bread. I want you more than anything in this world, God. I need you, God, to reveal yourself to me. Show me your glory, God. I need you to show me your grace and mercy. We've been, you know, you're invited to this we have prayer time. You know, last Tuesday, we pray every Tuesday at 6:30 a.m. on Zoom. You can go to our website and there's a link. 6:30 a.m. Last Tuesday, we had 54 people join us at 6:30 a.m. How about them apples, baby? And then we come together on Wednesday night. I had a great crowd Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we are in this room at 6 p.m. at night in person. And there's a bucket that we have, and people put in prayer requests, and I read them. And I'm going through these prayer requests, guys. And, you know, you can tell a lot about people by their prayer life. Have you figured that out yet? You can tell a lot about people and their relationship with God by their prayer life. And I'm reading through these prayer requests out loud, and I happen to notice how many times people are referring to the Holy Spirit and how many times people are talking about their fasting experience. And as a pastor, as I'm thumbing through this and people are sharing so vulnerably, I just start to weep in front of everyone. I'm overwhelmed. Overwhelmed how God is moving. Barnabas was desperate. He wasn't concerned about what other people thought about him. He wasn't concerned about, hey, I'm wondering what he's thinking. I'm wondering what she's thinking. I don't know. I'm wondering about. He wasn't concerned about status. He wasn't concerned about looking cool or being cool. He just needed Jesus. King David was desperate for God. King David was the second king of Israel. King David said this in Psalm 63, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." How do you pray audaciously? All right, I'm going to lay it down for you right here. Are you ready? Some of you are ready. Some of you are desperate. Some of you are desperate. Lord, help us. Well, let's do this. Let's do this. On the count of three, scream the name of Jesus. One, two, three.
Jesus!
Some of you said nothing. There's always going to be someone saying nothing. I'm not trying to call you out. I'm just saying, some of us are more desperate than others. God wants to hear your prayer. How do you pray audaciously? John chapter 15, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." In other words, all your life comes from Jesus. That's the way he planned it. That's the way God planned it. He who, say that word with me, abides. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. So those of you who are into producing, there is a production. There are results that come from abiding in Christ that you can't have unless you're abiding in him. That's another sermon though. And I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do how much? Verse 6, if anyone does not, say it again, abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned, their firewood. Verse 7, if you, say it with me, if you abide in me and my words, here it comes, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Jesus, now this word abide in the original Greek language, it's pronounced meno, not minnow like fishing, but meno. It means this, to refuse to depart. And Jesus is describing someone who is so connected with him. The translation would be, I'm not going to let anything come between me and my relationship with Jesus. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with my Savior, Jesus. I'm going to meditate on his words every day. This is the post. This is the reel. This is the feed I'm going to be reading every single day. I want to know his presence. I want to sit at his feet. I want to know his voice. I want to be obedient to whatever he says. I want to spend time with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what this idea of abiding with him means. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed, "Oh, Father, I pray that they are one with me as you and I are one." There's this oneness that God has called us to. And the desire of Jesus is to live inside of you and for you to know his presence and his grace and his mercy and his loving kindness and his forgiveness and his power. I mean, Jesus wants you to have this kind of relationship with him. And when you have that abiding oneness relationship with Jesus, check it out. Your prayers are different. You pray according to the will of your Savior. your prayers change. You pray for things that maybe you normally don't pray for. Like, I'm going to pray for my ex. I'm going to pray for my in-laws. I'm going to pray for that person who hates me. I'm going to pray for my boss who treating me wrong. Whatever it is, your prayers change because you gain the heart of your Savior. You gain the heart of your Savior. Your obedience to God determines the power of your prayer life. You got to understand this. I'm just helping you know. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. There's this pattern I'm trying to help you with. It starts with your relationship with Jesus, abiding in Christ, John chapter 15. And part of that is a decision to be obedient to him. And when I say obedient, it's not like, God, I'll do this, this, or this. You pick. No, 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 no. Obedience is being obedient to the last thing he told you to do. It's not like, God, I'll do anything as long as I'm comfortable. No, that's not obedience. It's not like, God, I'll do anything, but I don't want to do that because I get uncomfortable with that. I don't like people. I don't want to go to men's retreat because I don't like men. I've heard so much, guys. You have no idea. I'm not into crowds. It's not my thing. No, no, no. Obedience is, God, I'll do anything. God, I'll go anywhere as long as it's within this county. No, 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 no. You got it wrong. Obedience to God is a dying to self. Obedience to God is a surrender to the will of God. That's what obedience is. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I'm just going to say this, if you're wondering if that's you. How many people go to you and call you up and say, would you pray about this? Because they know when you pray, things happen. You don't have to raise your hand. I just want to, sometimes it's hard to look in the mirror. You come to church and sometimes the thought is, this message is for somebody else, it's not for me. Turn to the person next to you and tell him he's talking to you. Can you do that? We all need the grace of God, guys. I don't care if you've been in church forever. We all need the grace of God. 1 John says we can come to God with bold confidence and we will receive from him whatever we ask because we, what church? Because we obey him. And do the things that please him. It's according to the will of God. That's when your prayers change. When you abide in Christ and you say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord every day. And your prayers change when you say, Jesus, I want to be obedient to you. And I'm going to die to myself. And you're abiding in Christ. And then all of a sudden, your prayer life looks different. Jesus said, this was his prayer. If you want to take a chapter from him and not from me, check it out. Father, if you're willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. Is Jesus your Savior? Would you follow that? Really? Really? Are you willing to say, I want your will to be done, Lord? Seriously? Anything he asks? Anything? Well, I don't know about anything. Obedience to God is a welcome mat for the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 says it like this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance to the will of God. In other words, when you invite the Holy Spirit inside of you, it's just like power, guys. You need the Holy Spirit to live life. You need the Holy Spirit to live a life of righteousness. You need the Holy Spirit to help you live an obedient life because your good intentions are not enough. Your willpower is not enough. How many of you have figured that out yet? I figured that out. It's not enough. The Holy Spirit can transform your heart. The Holy Spirit can renew your mind. And the Holy Spirit can help you in your prayer life. Some of you, you need to say this. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to pray according to the will of God. When the Holy, you need to see Holy Spirit. When anytime I lead prayers with groups, I always say, Holy Spirit, lead us in our prayers. Because you will pray for things that you normally wouldn't pray for. You'll have a different perspective. It's powerful to pray, to cry out to God. It is powerful to pray and cry out to God. I think about this a little bit. What if blind Bartimaeus did not go for it? I mean, let's just think about it. He's sitting down on the edge of this thing and he's hearing everyone go by. What if he remained silent? Would we be reading about him? He'd be just another beggar. What if he didn't go for it? Helen Keller, she said, the only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. Whew. It's possible to hear a message about the love of God, the mercy of God, the purpose of God for your life, and for you to be blind. This message is for somebody else. I'm strong. This message is for somebody else. I'm in control. This message is for somebody else. I've been in the church forever. I've been to NDI and MSI and SSS and NYI. And I don't know what other letters are out there. A whole bunch of letters. I didn't grow up in the church. When my wife said, hey, do you want to go to youth group? I said, what's a youth group? I don't even know what that is. It's hilarious. It's a whole other message, whole other story. Some of you, you have some big prayers. Anybody got big prayers? The devil wants to keep you from turning to God. The devil wants to keep you with a small understanding of who God is. The devil does not want you to take any faith steps today. I want to help you understand that. The devil does not want you to ever come back to this church. The devil wants to distract you with something else. The devil wants to put something else in your mind so you don't turn to him. There's more. God has more for you. God has more. When you read this story, do you remember what Bartimaeus called Jesus? Rabbi. It means teacher. He didn't say, Son of God. He didn't say Messiah, anointed one. No. He said, hey, pastor, I mean, teacher. And he just, incidentally, did you notice he shot his shot? Like Bartimaeus, he could have said, I need more money. I need you to give me money for my retirement. I need you to give me health. You know what he said? I want to see. But you know what the rabbi did? This is what the rabbi did. He got down on his knees, so to speak. And he's like, okay, Bartimaeus, you know me as rabbi. We'll start right here. I'll give you your eyesight back. But I think Jesus would have said, but there's a whole lot more than this, brother. I'm more than a rabbi. I'm more than a rabbi. And he's like, come on. And then Bartimaeus starts walking with him. And Jesus is, I'm the Lord of lords and King of kings. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the great I am. Everything was created in me and through me and for me. See, Bartimaeus only knew him at this level. You have a Savior who will get down to your level. It's okay. He just says, come on. Come on. Aren't you done striving? Aren't you done wrestling? Aren't you done striving? Aren't you done? Come on. Aren't you done? And Jesus is like, I got a life for you. I got a life that all your money can never buy. I got a life for you that six figures can't buy. I got a life for you that seven figures can't buy. I got a life for you that is better than anything you'll experience in this world. Come on. Bartimaeus was desperate. He was desperate. And people were like, shut up, man. keep quiet. Bartimaeus kept screaming, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now I want to say this. Bartimaeus looked like a fool until he walked home on his own. He walked home on his own. He looked like a fool. Look at that dude. I was, he shut up. All of a sudden, you see him walking with Jesus. Peace out, man. You guys think what you want. You have a loving God who sees you and knows you and cares about you, and he brought you to this church for you to turn to him, and he has more for you. He has more. Turn to the person next to you and just tell him he has more. 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 Oh, Jesus. God brought you here to hear this message. Some of you, your first step is to turn to Jesus. That's your first step. Some of you, God's calling you to have this relationship with you, and maybe you need healing like Bartimaeus, or maybe he's calling you to abide, or maybe he's calling you to trust, or maybe he's calling you to obey, or maybe he's calling you to put his spirit inside of you. This is way better than the Broncos winning a Super Bowl. I'm just telling you. It's way better than the comeback of the Chicago Bears. It's way better than anything. This is a good hit, guys. It's Jesus. There's nothing like this hit right here. There is nothing like this hit. And I want to say this, there's nothing that you're going to face in 2026 that God cannot handle. God knows what's going to happen in 2026. You cry out to God right now while you have breath. Don't you lean on a woman for your faith. Don't you lean on a man for your faith. You lean on Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I swallowed the Kool-Aid, guys. I can't help it. He is a good God. He is a good Savior. You want some? You want some? You want some? You make a choice to keep coming to church. You make a choice to spend time in the Word of God every day. Again, the pearl is this, His presence. If God did nothing for me ever again, I would just be grateful for His presence. He doesn't have to do anything. He's done plenty for me. He saved me, and that's all I could ask for. Thank you, Jesus. I feel a ripeness here, guys. There is, what if Bartimaeus did nothing? What if you do nothing right now? What if you turn to Jesus today? What if you say, I need God's help? What if you say, Holy Spirit, fill me? There's a whole trajectory in your life that could only be experienced when you turn to God. If you become desperate, then God, I need you. I don't care about what anyone else thinks. I'm not going to play you, God. Players, did you hear that? I'm not going to play you, God. I'm not going to argue with you, God. Any arguers in the house? I love the honesty in this church. I can be just as guilty. I can be just as guilty. Me too. I'm not going to be full of pride anymore. I'm not going to put myself first anymore. You know what, God? I'm going to bring it to you. I'm going to shoot my shot. I'm going to go for this right here. I'm going to shoot my shot. And God, if you don't do anything, I'm still cool because you are God and you have my future, and I know you'll carry me through anything I face. But I'm going to shoot my shot because what if, baby? What if? What if? All right, you guys ready to do this? I feel like this is such a great message to show some courage and boldness. I think it required some courage for Bartimaeus to scream and say, Jesus. I think it required some courage, because so many times we're so concerned about what other people think about us. I mean, some of you are dressed in a certain way just because you want to look cool. It's natural. I get it. You ready to do this? Any desperate people in the house? If you are ready to invite Jesus Christ into your life, you want Jesus to get behind the steering wheel of your life. That's your desire. You hear me? I'm calling you out. Stand up really quickly, and I want to say a prayer for you. Anybody in the house who's ready to put Jesus there? We got someone over here. Hallelujah. Look at my brother in the back. Way to go, man. Way to go, brother. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anybody else over here? Anybody ready to turn to Jesus? We got some people in the back over here. Woo! Hallelujah. Hey, worship team, come on out here. I want you guys to see this. Worship team, come on out here. You got to check this out, guys. Keep standing up. Anybody else in the house? Anybody else in the house? Come on over here. Get over here, guys. There's some people over there. Anybody else want to stand up for Jesus? You ready to turn to Jesus? Oh, we got someone in the back over there. You guys see that? You guys see that? You guys see that? You guys see that? That's what I'm talking about. Oh, Jesus, have your way here. Oh, my goodness. You made the best decision in your life, guys. Anybody else? Let's just keep going. Oh, Jesus, thank you. We got someone else in the back that just stood up right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's got to be the shirt. All right, you guys stay standing up. I'm going to say a prayer for you, and way to go for standing up. Way to go. A whole family, guys, back there. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Holy Spirit's moving in this place. All right, anybody, let's see. If you need the Holy Spirit to fill you, if you need, if you want your prayer life to change and you make a decision, yeah, come on, stand up really quickly. God, thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. For those of you who stood up to receive Jesus, would you say this prayer right where you're at? You can say, Jesus, I turn to you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. And right now I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I repent of them and I turn to you and I ask you to be my Lord and Savior, deliverer of my life. Slide on behind the steering wheel of my life and take over. I want to become a Christian today. And I want to live for you. I want to walk with you like blind Bartimaeus did. Others of you, maybe you need to say this, God, I want to go to the next level with you, and I invite your Holy Spirit to fill me because I leak, and I need your Holy Spirit to fill me. Oh, give me new faith. Give me bold faith. Give me audacious faith. Holy Spirit, teach me how to pray. Jesus, help me to abide in you. I want to be obedient. I want to be faithful. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's thank God. His Holy Spirit's working here. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.